You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and it's healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. I am solo for the first half of this episode. Vince will be doing the second half. We're doing a split episode. Today we had planned to do, in honor of Father's Day, which is just winding down as I'm recording this, we were going to do a draft of father-son duos in major leagues with Dodger ties. Not necessarily best father-son duos or even favorite, just drafting them. And so we're still going to do that, except it won't be draft style. I'll go first, and then Vince will do his in the second half. We'll each pick three. I'm going to take one that I think he might have taken. The other two, I'm sure he wasn't going to, so it's not really that big a deal that it wasn't going to be a draft anyway. So that's the plan for today. First, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, before I jump into the father-son duos, just a recap of the weekend in labor relations. Everybody hates each other. MLB has said they're not going to go past 60 games. The players were going to respond. Then MLB sent the union a letter. Manfred sent the union a letter saying that they were willing to concede on some things, but not the number of games. So then the union held off on their vote. So as of right now, we still don't have a season, but also spring training sites have been shut back down because of a couple COVID outbreaks. Shut down for cleaning, which is weird because it's, yeah, I think it's probably more the people being together than the cleanliness. So the whole season is in question anyway. I don't have much to say about it because I don't know any more than anybody else. I stand by my opinion that if the season is canceled because of COVID, that is something that's understandable and fans will come back. If it's canceled because of money, there are a lot of fans who won't come back. Plenty still will. I will. You probably will if you're listening to a Dodgers podcast when there hasn't been a Dodger game in, 8 months? Anyway, you and I are going to be back, but a lot of casual fans won't be if it's canceled over money. So hopefully the owners and the union can agree to something, put the bad blood behind them, at least for the sake of appearances. And then if the season doesn't happen because of COVID, at least they can all say they kind of tried. So that's probably all I need to talk about with that. So according to Baseball Almanac, I think it is, there have been 240 father-son combos in Major League history. A lot of them have Dodger ties. Dodger Insider had a decent little article about that on Sunday, talking about some of them. I'm only going to talk about one of the ones that Dodger Insider mentioned, and I'll do that one first. I'm going to talk about Cody and Clay Bellinger. Not a ton to say there. Obviously, Cody Bellinger is the reigning MVP in the National League. Hopefully won't be the final MVP in National League history. Hopefully baseball will eventually be back. But Cody is right now the reigning MVP. He's awesome. And his dad, Clay, played for the Yankees and Angels. His team's made it to the World Series every year that he was in the big leagues. And Cody's teams have made it to the World Series in two of his 3 years. And so it's a World Series family. My favorite Clay Bellinger story is in game 4 of the 2018 NLCS. I think I have my seasons right. Yeah, against the Brewers. I was at the game by myself. I was sitting in the dugout club right behind the plate. And I noticed that when you're sitting in the dugout club, other people in the dugout club just assume you're not a loser because, hey, you're sitting in the dugout club. And so, you know, the night before, I sat there for games 3, 4, and 5. And so I get confused. Dennis Haysbert was sitting there near me. Game 4 was the one that Cody hit the walk-off single to score Manny Machado a couple innings after Machado had spiked Jesus Aguilar, et cetera, et cetera. But during in about the 9th or 10th inning, I was standing back in the back of the dugout club and ended up standing next to Clay Bellinger for a few minutes. And we were just talking, and I asked him, you know, talking to him from a father's standpoint, asked him what it's like to be there when his son has all that pressure on him. And you know, he was talking to me a little bit about the pressure of being a big leaguer. And then he told me that Cody's mechanics are just all left up right now. And then a couple innings later, Cody got the game-winning hit, ended up winning the NLCS MVP, even though he didn't actually have a very good series. But he got a couple big hits when they were needed. So he won the series MVP. And so obviously I love Cody. I'm a big Cody fan. I think he is talent-wise one of the top 5 players in baseball. Obviously we'll see when they're back on the field if he can put it together again. He did last year for most of the season. But talent-wise, it's hard to find anybody. Like, I'd maybe top 2 or 3. Obviously, Mike Trout is the most talented player in baseball. But Cody Bellinger, talent-wise, is right there when you've got the speed, the arm, the defense, the, you know, everything. He's the total package, so I'm a big Cody Bellinger fan. I'm going to do my other two in a minute, but first I want to talk to you about Built Bar. As I've mentioned before, Built Bar is a protein bar, has just as much protein as the leading protein bars you could buy at the store. The difference is Built Bar tastes good, which is something you're probably not used to in a protein bar, because protein bars are notoriously disgusting. And you eat them because you have to, and you hate it, and it makes you wonder if it's even worth it to be in shape. And Built Bar can change those feelings because it tastes like a candy bar. It's chocolatey, it's ooey-gooey, yummy. And amazingly, even though it tastes so much better, it's actually healthier for you too. It has less sugar, a lot less sugar, like 1/7 the amount of sugar and carbs. It has more fiber, so it's healthier. It's just fewer calories. Everything about it is healthier for you, and it tastes better. So honestly, if you eat protein bars and you're not eating Built Bar, you might as well be punching yourself in the face. That's how bad it is. So stop punching yourself in the face. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And now, speaking of punching yourself in the face, let's talk about Rock Auto. If you are going down to AutoZone or the Pep Boys, are Pep Boys still around? Manny, Moe, and Jack, the 3 best friends your car ever had? Well, guess what? They're not the best friends your car ever had. They charge you too much if they're even still in business. I don't know. But know who is still in business? Rock Auto. They're a website. They don't have to keep things, you know, in a little tiny storefront. They have a huge warehouse. So whatever you need, you can get it from Rock Auto for much better prices than you would pay at one of the chain stores. And most likely, to get the part you actually need, the chain stores are going to have to order it in for you anyway, because they just keep a few things in stock. So you're going to get it just as quick. Go into rockauto.com. You're going to pay less. It's a family-owned business. They are awesome. And, there's so many different kinds of cars. You're not going to find what you need at a storefront, but you will find it at Rock Auto. So go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts that are available for your car or truck. And you just write "Locked On" in their little field where it says, "How did you hear about us?" You can't hear it in that voice. It's just words on a website. But just read it like that. "How did you hear about us?" And you write "Locked On." And then they'll know that we sent you, and they will keep advertising with us. But it's easy to navigate. It's awesome. It's a great website, and they have everything you need. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, now I'm going to talk about my two other Dodgers father-son combos that I'm drafting. Cody Bellinger is the one that I had a feeling Vince might want if we were actually doing a draft. The other two, I don't think he's going to. And they're kind of connected in some ways. So I'm going to go first with Bob and Terry Kennedy. Now, their connection to the Dodgers is somewhat small. Bob Kennedy played 18 years in the big leagues. No, 16 years in the big leagues. Over the course of from 1939 to 1957. He missed three full seasons for World War II. He missed parts of a couple other seasons for the Korean War. He's one of only four players who spent time in both World War II and the Korean War. He and Ted Williams have that in common. And his very last season, half a season, his final 19 games, 33 plate appearances, were with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1957. He actually had the final at-bat for the Dodgers, for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1957. The last player ever to come to bat wearing Brooklyn on his shirt was Bob Kennedy. And then later he went on to be a coach, a front office guy. He managed the Cubs in the 60s and the A's in the early 70s, late 60s, somewhere around there. And then he was a front office guy. And his son Terry played against the Dodgers a lot. He played a lot of his career with the Padres and the last few years with the Giants. He was drafted by the Cardinals. And at the time that Terry was drafted, Bob was actually the general manager of the Cubs. And Terry was drafted in the first round. This was 1977, the year I was born. And Harold Baines was the first pick overall by the White Sox. Fellow Hall of Famer Paul Molitor was the third pick by the Brewers. And then Terry Kennedy was the sixth pick by the Cardinals. The Cubs didn't pick till 12th. They took a guy named Randy Martz, who made the big leagues but was not any good. But yeah, there were two Hall of Famers in that first round. Plus, the Dodgers took future Cy Young Award winner Bob Welch. Dave Henderson was picked in that draft. There were some Wally Backman, some pretty good players picked in that draft. But Terry Kennedy went on to play, a ton of years. How long did he be? 14 seasons in the big leagues. And Terry Kennedy was involved in one of the biggest trades you'll ever see. He was in 1980 when the Cardinals traded him to the Padres. He was traded along with John Littlefield, Al Olmsted, Mike Phillips, Kim Seaman, and Steve Swisher, and John Urea. Steve Swisher, the father of Nick Swisher. So that was 7 guys going from the Cardinals to the Padres for Raleigh Fingers, Bob Shirley, Gene Tennis, and Bob Guerin, current Dodgers bench coach Bob Guerin. And then later, Bob Kennedy was assistant general manager for the Giants. And at that time, the Giants traded for Terry Kennedy, his son. And the guy they sent to the Orioles for Terry Kennedy was Bob Melvin, current A's manager. So a lot of trades connections there, Hall of Famers, Dodger guys, other fathers of big leaguers. And I think it's fun that Bob Kennedy traded as an assistant GM, traded for his son. Because, to tie it into my next one, my third and final Dodgers father-son duo is Al and Jim Campanis. Al Campanis played for the Dodgers early in his career, and actually his whole major league career was just 1943 with the Dodgers. He didn't play in the big leagues for very long, but then he became, eventually, the Dodger. He was a scout. He was a scout who signed Roberto Clemente for the Dodgers, signed a lot of guys. I believe he was involved in the Sandy Koufax signing, if I remember right. He later became the Dodgers general manager. In 1987, he resigned in infamy, unfortunately. He said some things that did not come out the way he intended them to, and was basically canceled before being canceled was a thing. Said some things regarding race and baseball and why there weren't more managers and front office people who are African-American in Major League Baseball. And, I know Al Campanis's grandson, who knew Al Campanis really well. And everybody I've talked to or heard from who knew Al Campanis personally recognizes that that was not who he was. Al Campanis was dear friends with Jackie Robinson. And obviously the Dodgers have been at the forefront a lot over the years in racial diversity and awareness. And so it's unfortunate that his career ended that way. But his son, Jim Campanis, also played for the Dodgers, Jim Campanis Sr. And when Al Campanis became the general manager of the Dodgers, actually one of the first things he did was trade away his son, Jim Campanis. Basically just didn't want that conflict of interest. And so he traded his own son. One of the first things he did as general manager. And from what I hear, he slept on the couch a little bit because of that. Because basically the way his wife saw it was, you traded my grandkids. Al Campanis and Jim Campanis were both Dodgers. Jim's son, Jim Jr., is the one I know. He got as far as AAA with the Mariners and the Angels, but never made it to the big leagues. Is a great guy, though. He's still involved with baseball. Wrote an awesome book a couple years ago called Born Into Baseball. You should check that out. I should get Jim on the podcast sometime. He just has a ton of stories to tell from his life in baseball, and obviously has some Dodger ties. So I think that's my three. I got Cody and Clay Bellinger. I have Bob and Terry Kennedy. And I have Al and Jim Campanis with a cameo by Jim Campanis Jr. And I think that will do it for me. So Vince is going to come along and tell you his three father-son combos with Dodger ties. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. If you're not a father, happy Father's Day to you anyway, because I think this world could use more pleasantness. So Vince will be along in a minute.
That was probably less than a minute, but thank you, Jeff, for holding down the fort in the first half. I am here, Vince Samperio of Chavez Ring Fiends. I am here to give my three father-son duos with Dodger ties. And I will say it wasn't as easy as I thought. Obviously, you know some of the big names, and I kind of stuck to big. Two out of three are names that you might expect or players you know. But there's a lot of different ways I could have went with this. And if we expanded this to a larger draft, it would have been some fun back and forth. But I'm going to get the first one off the board. And this one is the dad with the Dodger ties. And that's Raul Mondesi and Adalberto Mondesi. Raul Mondesi obviously played with the Dodgers. He was a Rookie of the Year. And one of my favorite players growing up, the first time I remember of the crowd chanting a player's name where it sounds like boo, but it was Raul. And yeah, he was just exciting. Had a cannon in right field, had some power, had some pop, and was just fun for somebody growing up around my age time with the Dodgers. And his son doesn't have any Dodger ties specifically, but he does have the distinction of being the only player to play in a World Series game before the World Series was his major league debut with the Royals in 2015. He was added to the roster and then participated via pinch hit, and that was his major league debut, and it was in the World Series. So that's pretty interesting and definitely something that I don't know if we'll ever see again. That was definitely a situation that was rare. Moving on, I'm going to do one with both players played for the Dodgers. One had not as successful career as the son, and that's Stu Peterson and Jock Peterson. Stu Peterson does have the honor of being a obscure former Dodger. He played with the Dodgers in 1985 for eight games, and he had four at-bats in those eight games, did not record a major league hit, but did have a major league RBI and a major league run scored. So at least, he was on the board somehow. He had a sac fly for his only RBI. But Jock Peterson, as we all know and have come to love, has become the right-handed masher of the Dodgers of a platoon in left field. He was a top prospect. We all remember the 30-30 guy in the minors, and maybe was in the minors a little bit longer than he needed to or than he deserved to be, but that was just the case of the Dodgers outfield situation. Came up, had a hot first half his rookie year, cooled down a little bit, kind of was still finding himself the next year or so, but then the last few years has been a blessing as a platoon against right-handed pitching, mashing. And if you guys know me and my tweets, it appears that Jock Peterson likes to hit home runs when I'm in attendance. But Jock Peterson likes to hit home runs a lot of times. So, you know, the fact that I'm in attendance is not really going to stop him from hitting home runs. But, yeah, Stu and Jock Peterson are my second pick. And going on to the last pick. Now, this one's a little bit obscure, but I feel a little connected to this guy because I picked him in one of our drafts for, I think, a team with the players from every decade. And that's Dolph Camilli and his son Doug Camilli, who both played for the Dodgers. Dolph Camilli brought some power to the Dodgers back in the 1940s. He broke Zach Wheat's record of career home runs with the Dodgers. That was later broken. But yeah, he was one of those guys who struck out a lot but had a lot of power. Probably would have fit in well in today's game. And my favorite part about Dolph Camilli that I learned when I was doing this research is that Camilli was traded to the Giants but refused to report to the Dodgers' hated rivals. Instead, he managed the Oakland Oaks of the PCL before joining the Red Sox a year later. But he didn't really do too hot with the Red Sox, and that was the end of his career. But yeah, he was an MVP with the Dodgers, a two-time All-Star, home run leader, RBI leader. And his son, Doug Camilli, didn't have quite the distinguished career, but he does have something that Dolph Camilli doesn't. And that is that Doug Camilli caught the third of Sandy Koufax's four career no-hitters. June 4th, 1964, Koufax struck out 12, only allowed a walk that game, beat the Phillies at CONMEC Stadium, and Doug Camilli was the catcher for that. Beyond that, he played with the Dodgers over 4 years and went on to play with the Senators for a little bit. Never had too much success, but he had the distinction of catching a no-hitter by Sandy Koufax, so that's pretty exciting. So that will wrap up my portion of it. Some honorable mentions. You know, the Hairstons are one of the few three-generation families. Jerry Hairston played with the Dodgers. That is a connection there. There's actually another third-generation family that the Dodgers have connection with, and that's the Schofield / Wirths. So Jason Wirth is the grandson of Ducky Schofield and the nephew of Dick Schofield, who all played in the major leagues. The Dodgers, you know, have a lot of connections. I almost went with Sandy Alomar and Sandy Alomar Sr., Sandy Alomar Jr., and Roberto Alomar, just because that would have been three guys. Only one played with the Dodgers, Sandy Alomar Jr., but I didn't go with them. You know, Tom Gordon and D. Gordon are up there. D. Gordon always holds a little special place in my heart for being the first on-camera interview of a Dodger player I ever did. But yeah, also I learned that Maury Wills had a son who played in the major leagues. I did not know that, named Bump Wills. Obviously wasn't as good as Maury, but still, regardless, like I said, Jeff and I could probably do a couple episodes or one, at least one or more episode, and still have enough to talk about a lot. But that is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers. Make sure you tell your friends, tell your family. Make sure you're downloading and listening every day. And make sure you're rating and reviewing on iTunes if you have the chance. You can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one. And make sure to tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. All heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye! Kalamazoo.